Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know what this world is coming to.
Picks against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? We shut them down that way.
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thanks, Coach. Matt Leinart will be the only other person in this room probably about 5 minutes away.
It's a disappointed coach.
What's going on, everyone? And welcome to Sports Chat with T-Wash. That was one of the most hilarious moments I've ever seen in sports. But at the same token, I got to pay my respects and give a shout-out to Coach Dennis Green, Denny Green. He was a pretty decent coach, and he happened to lose his life. He had a heart attack. He basically died of cardiac arrest. So, you know, usually whenever something big like this happens, somebody pass away, always start the show by paying them some kind of tribute, you know, playing one of their audio clips or something like that. But that was one of the most hilarious ones that he'll forever be known for. So I thought I'd put that out there for you guys to hear it. But just a little bit about Denny Green. He was born February 17th, 1949. And as I said, he died on July 22nd of cardiac arrest. In 1981, he was only the second African-American head coach in Division I-A history, and he coached at Northwestern University. Legendary head coach Bill Walsh gave him his first opportunity to coach in the NFL as wide receivers coach for the 1985 San Francisco 49ers, and we know what type of team that was. That was Joe Montana, that was Ronnie Lott, that was all those legends, Jerry Rice, John Taylor, all those guys. In 1992, Dennis Green, he got his chance to be a head coach. He was named the fifth head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. His best coaching season was a season that me and my wife and my brother-in-law will never forget. It was back in 98 when he coached the Vikings. They finished with a 15-1 record and set the NFL record for the most points scored in the season until my 2007 Patriots shattered that record. But they were the first team to do it. They broke the record. Like I said, that was a great team. That team had Randy Moss, you know, when he was basically a rookie. Well, I think he was in the second year, but Randy Moss was a beast. Then you had Chris Carter. Then you had Jake Reed. You had Robert Smith at the running back. And you had my second favorite quarterback of all time, Randall Cunningham, playing the QB spot. That was a good team. And you had Madman John Randall on defense. That team definitely should have won the Super Bowl that year, but they happened to lose that game in the Minneapolis Metrodome. The Dirty Birds, man. Jamal Anderson and those guys, they beat them. And I think they lost on the Morton Anderson field goals. One of those field goal kicks. I think he kicked field goal to beat them, but that was like one of the greatest teams to not win the Super Bowl. Green's overall coaching record was 113-94 in the regular season, and he's 4-8 in the playoffs. His last NFL coaching job was with the Arizona Cardinals, where he finished with a 16-32 record in three seasons. So that wasn't too good. wasn't really a great way for him to go out, but he did have an opportunity, and there's not too many African-American coaches in the NFL, so he did get an opportunity, and, you know, that's a good thing. That's always good for it to be a little diversity. Now, I'm going to talk about just a brief statement about these guys, and I don't understand these young knucklehead NFL players. I mean, why couldn't I be blessed with these gifts they have, and they just screw it up? You know, my last show, I was just talking about Ezekiel Elliott and how for the Cowboys, he's going to get 250 to 300 carries max because they want him to be like DeMarco Murray was a few years back. They want to have a running game to help protect Tony Romo and to get their offense going. They need a solid running game. And he's expected to do that, but he may be in trouble because he's being accused of sexual assault over the last week by some female. And it's like, come on, man, you're a rookie. You haven't even started playing yet. And you getting in trouble already? Take your blessings, man. Take your blessings. So I really don't understand this. But he's jeopardizing his season. If not the whole season, at least half of the games probably. And then we have this other knucklehead that's a great player. And he's young. He's only been in the league for about 3 years. Le'Veon Bell for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, what's going on? You got to be smart in this. You already got in trouble last season. He got suspended last season for these weed issues. Him and LeGarrette Blount. Him and LeGarrette Blount got suspended for weed issues last year. And now he's facing a possible four-game suspension for basically not showing up to take his drug test. It's like, come on, man. What kind of excuses is he going to come up with? So I'm going to say more than likely he's going to miss the first four games. And it's like I said, it's just real retarded that these guys, they have this talent, and it's like they're just blowing it. They're wasting it. I mean, like I said, if Lord would have blessed me with this talent, man, I wouldn't be doing all this dumb stuff. And Le'Veon Bell, he's a dual threat for the Steelers. They really missed him last year, but D'Angelo Williams came in and did a hell of a job because Le'Veon Bell, he missed the first four games last year. Then he came in, he got hurt. I think his second game back, he got hurt. Tore his ACL and MCL, and he's out for the rest of the season. And D'Angelo Williams had to come in and do the job, and he did a hell of a job. Like I said, he played good. It wasn't his fault that they didn't make it to the playoffs, the Steelers, last year. And they finished with a 10-6 record. But Le'Veon Bell, he know he's crucial to this team. Big Ben need him. You know, the Steelers, they need his ability to run the ball and catch the ball out the backfield. He's a dual threat. Every team wants a back that can do those things that could catch the ball out the backfield and that could run it for a decent amount of yardage. So Le'Veon Bell, he screwed up too. So I don't know. I just don't know what to say about these youngsters. But on today's show, we're going to talk about the top five Heisman candidates in NCAA football this year. And this is my opinion. Now, you know, it's not like – I don't know if it's like this for sure, but this is just my opinion on who I think the top five are going to be. And then also I'm going to get into I've been doing my own NFL previews. Last show I did the AFC East and the NFC East. Today's show I'm going to do the NFC North and the AFC North. So I'm going to be breaking those down and giving you my opinions on those. So I'm going to take this break, and then when I come back, we're going to get into these top five Heisman candidates, in my opinion, for the 2016 season.
Hi, sports fans. Don't you love to see young people engaged in a good book? Then it's a must that you check out my website for my newly released title, A Different Color. You will find a list of other engaging books for youth ages 12 through 18 as well. My books are only $10, and they are guaranteed. So if that special young person in your life is not engaged, you will get your money back. So quit stalling and check me out at www.yireadpublishing.com. That's www.yireadpublishing.com. I'm Casey Taylor, and together we make a difference in the lives of our youth.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, what's going on? This Sports Chat with T. Wash. I'm going to get off into this, my personal belief, my top five Heisman candidates for the 2016 NCAA college football season. If you guys want to call in, talk about these Heisman choices I pick, or talk about college football in general, or talk about NBA, or talk about any sport, then you could chime in. 1-516-453-9117. Once again, it's 1-516-453-9117. All right. The first person I pick for my top five for the Heisman, I believe that these picks, these players are going to be there, at least three of them. But I'm going with Deshaun Watson, quarterback out of Clemson. This dude is special. Watson is a true dual threat, ranking in the top 10 in the country in total offense due to his ability to throw over the top of defenses and run for long yardage. He passed for 4,104 yards and rushed for 1,105 yards with 12 touchdowns. If top receiver Mike Williams can be healthy for 2016, Watson will have plenty of passing options for his junior season. Along with Williams, Deion Kane, Artavis Scott, and tight end Jordan Leggett, they make up one of the best receiving corps in the country. Plenty of highlights from the Clemson offense this season. And like I said, Deshaun Watson, he is a beast. I mean, if you watch any of those games last year, even that national championship game against Alabama, it wasn't his fault they lost the game. I mean, he had a hell of a game in that one. And, you know, I completely expect him to be in New York. I mean, right now they already have him as the Heisman favorite. And I think that's a good, you know, a good pick to win the Heisman. I'm going to go with him, either him or another player that I'm about to talk about. But the next player is Baker Mayfield, and he's a quarterback out of Oklahoma. He's really good, too. He's tough and gritty, and he's a good leader for his team. But he could be the one senior that makes a Heisman run in 2016, especially if he was the lead the Sooners to the championship. He doesn't throw for 300 yards every week. I mean, he only had 3,700 passing yards. But he made plays when the team needed him to. And his 36 passing touchdowns against just five interceptions was very impressive. No quarterback in the country has shown more grit and desire, exemplified by his willingness to gut out a first down or a goal line run. And he is a tough runner to be a quarterback. He had throw his head right in there. He had 405 rushing yards this past season and scored seven touchdowns. His desire to win at all costs, makes him a fan favorite. And he, like I said, the dude makes plays. Bob Stoops, he has a good quarterback there. And, you know, they just got to put it together. That Oklahoma defense got to play Oklahoma defense. And if Mayfield can do what he's been doing, they definitely have a shot at, you know, making that college playoff and, you know, him making a name for himself so he can make sure he's in New York, you know, to compete for that Heisman. The next player I got is Dalvin Cook, running back out of Florida State. This guy's been a monster, too. And, guys, like I said, if you want to call and talk about these Heisman candidates or the preview I'm about to do for the NFL, the NFC North, the AFC North, if you got a favorite team in that division, I know I got some Bears fans out there. Call me and talk about your Bears. Tell me why you think Jay Cutler is going to be able to finally push the Bears through, because I have no belief in Jay Cutler at all. He's the type of guy that doesn't even want to play. It seems like he don't even care. They could lose the game. He'll be up there giving a press conference. Oh, ho-hum, yeah, you paid me, Bears. You paid me all this money. I'm just going to go home. I don't care if we win or lose or not. That's the type of perception that Jay Cutler gives off. So if I got Bears fans out there, call in and tell me. Explain to me why the Bears are going to finally be able to make a playoff push. The clock is ticking, Bears fans. I got a call. Let's see who this is calling me. What's going on? This Sports Chat with T. Wash. Who's calling?
Yo, what's up, man? This is Bryce calling from Brooklyn. What's going on?
What's going on, Bryce? How you doing, buddy? How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Came across the show. Saw you be talking about the AFC North and thought I'd call in.
Yeah. I'm going to get to him. But, yeah, what you got?
Who's
the team in the AFC North?
Say it again. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
I said, what you got? Who's your team in the AFC North?
My longtime team in the AFC North, you already know what it is, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, man. Did you just hear me talking about Le'Veon Bell and how retarded he's been?
Yeah. You know, it's crazy because I think he sacrificed himself to get any leverage for the long-term deal, and he needs to get in probably into a program in terms of, you know, easier said than done. People said he's going to stop smoking, but – you know, when you started, you know, everyone's different and, you know, you might have an addiction. He's got to work through that. I don't want to hear any nonsense about cutting Le'Veon Bell or not re-signing him. But I think the leverage he had to get the max long-term deal he wanted will be out the window. They can't trust him, just like with Martavis, they get an extra year back on his contract. But he's not going to get – unless he show improves and plays all 16 games in 2017 and does well – he's not going to get the big time long term deal. Let's take a shorter one.
Yeah, well, the good news is, man, I mean, hey, remember, he got suspended for the first four last year. Then, I think his second game back, he got hurt for the season, and D'Angelo Williams did a hell of a job, man. So that's the good news. Those first four games, because he's going to get suspended. These first four games, D'Angelo Williams, you know, he'll make a difference, man, because he proved that he could run and he could catch the ball out of the backfield, too. Not quite on the level as Le'Veon Bell, but I think it's a good enough cushion, you know, for Bell to miss the four games and you guys will still be all right. But for Martavis Bryant, I think that hurts.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely hurts to lose Martavis, but I think what Pittsburgh did was to balance the offense. They wouldn't sign Ladarius Green. Two birds with one stone. You move the tight end. I mean, I love Heath Miller. You get a little bit of a faster, more vertical guy in there to replace Heath Miller, who still give effort in the run game and block. But you got a guy now that can stretch the field kind of like a Martavis, just in different parts of the zones. In terms of the run game, you know, D'Angelo Williams has been a veteran. I mean, D'Angelo Williams, to me, last year played like a top five running back. When you looked at the running backs that were out in the field. So, and I also think it opened up the door for our third back, Fitzgerald Toussaint, to really show that he can run the football. So I think they'll be good for the four games. And as long as you got the elite quarterback like Roethlisberger, they'll be fine.
I agree. I think they'll be fine. It's just crazy that Le'Veon Bell keep putting himself in this situation. I mean, dude, you one of the top backs in the league. Fantasy draft time come around, you like the third, at least, top five pick. Is like, so that tells you how valuable he is. I mean, he's a valuable pass catcher out the backfield, and he can run for good yardage. So it's like, come on, man, why are you screwing it up?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, just his the running back position's already been devalued to a point that, you know, for him to get that top shelf dollars, it was going to be a negotiation anyway. So now, you know, he's just giving more leverage to the Steelers to say, hey, look, we'll bring you back on a 2-year deal, 3-year deal, and he's going to really be pushing uphill on that. But I also think, too, with the defense coming around, I think they stopped the run pretty well, and you still got Antonio Brown. He's 100% ready to go. You got number seven.
Oh, yeah.
He's a top three quarterback. I think Pittsburgh would be all right, even if D'Angelo Williams starts to downtail a little bit because he is 33. Fitzgerald Toussaint, I think, can come in and run the football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's well said. And, yeah, definitely, Big Ben, you know, he's one of the best. Antonio Brown is the best receiver in the league. So, you know,
yeah,
you got that going for you. And, really, in the AFC North, the only competition I see for you is the Bengals. But we know what the Bengals do. You know, the regular season, they always have a good record. They're always going to be 12-4 or 11-5. And then once playoff time comes, they're going to find some kind of way to be stupid and choke it.
So, they're choke artists.
That's the only thing you really have to worry about.
Well, I mean, our number one rival to me is still the Baltimore Ravens. Even after, you know, they had a down year, don't expect them to stay down, man, because then the way they built their team, they play like the Steelers. They built their organization like the Steelers. They're not going to stay down. forever. They lost a lot of close games. They swept us still last year. That's our number one rival. The Bengals are not our number one rival. There's animosity because they're trying to get to a level of consistency all around, playoffs, regular season, what have you, like we have. Probably some jealousy there. But they're choke artists in their heart of hearts. So it's the Baltimore Ravens. They're champions. They've won Super Bowls. They know how to win. They'll be back.
See, because I'm going to talk about them too later, you know, once I get to breaking down these two divisions, the AFC North and the NFC North. I love the fact that Steve Smith came back and didn't go out like that, didn't retire off an injury. But it's like, you know, is Joe Flacco going to be able to get it back? You know, I mean, their receiving core is weak. Justin Forsett, he played okay. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, but you know how it is. When you rivals, you get up to play your rivals. So no matter how bad they are, you know, they going to get up to play you guys. So you got a point. Because that's kind of like me. My squad is New England Patriots. For whatever reason.
Oh, wow.
Whenever, yes. That's my squad. And if you listen to my last show, if you listen to my show on Wednesday, you would have heard me break down the AFC and talk about them. But, you know, it's just like with us. For whatever reason, we can't beat Miami in Miami. You know, so they are, you know, that's like our rival.
Yeah, they get after you. You know, they've got, you know, certain teams just match up well. I think when you look at Miami, the way that New England has lost some of these games over the years is, look, like they did to Denver. Put the four defensive linemen up there, rush Tom Brady, pressure the offensive line, blitz the offensive line, confuse them, overpower them, and you can disrupt that offense. And so Miami's has had the horses and the pieces to be able to do that. You know, having said that, I think Ben Roethlisberger, with Tom Brady suspended for the four games, I think in the first four games, this is just my perspective, call me a homer, the most accomplished quarterback in the league will be Ben Roethlisberger.
I personally,
I would take Ben Roethlisberger over Aaron Rodgers, but that's just me. I think he's a better overall quarterback. I think Aaron Rodgers is the better pure passer, but I think Ben Roethlisberger does a lot of other things a little bit better than Aaron Rodgers does.
I don't know, Bryce. That's a tough one, man. Hey, my wife and my brother-in-law wouldn't be agreeing with you right now, but, yeah, that's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Big Ben. My wife likes Big Ben, too, but they're Packer fans, so it's like, you know, I've seen a lot of Packer games. I've been to Packer games, you know. I was up at Lambeau when the Patriots played up there. So I've seen a lot of Green Bay games. And I don't know, man. I mean, I like Big Ben, too, and I love his toughness. But I don't know, man. I mean, think about it. Aaron Rodgers played last year without his main, you know, receiving threat and still managed to throw 35 touchdowns and 8 picks. That's pedestrian for him. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the way I look at it. Look, if you're talking about pure passing ability, you may disagree with this. If I'm just talking that one category, I'm taking him over Tom Brady. I think he's the best in the league. But I think when you add in all of the other things that take to play quarterback, right now with Tom Brady suspended, I give a slight edge to Ben Roethlisberger. I think he's the more accomplished quarterback. I think he's great against the blitz. I think he's better in the playoffs. I think he's shown to moxie up and play better in the playoffs. I think Aaron Rodgers has had some real disappointments in the playoffs that Ben Roethlisberger just has never really had. You know, in terms of losing games, he's played bad in one games.
I agree. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers does tend to struggle in the playoffs, and like I tell my wife and brother-in-law, the Packers struggle on the road. They're, you know, undeniable. You know, they're undeniable at home. You know, they destroy everybody. But on the road, they struggle.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to be able to win on the road if you don't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers had the 1 year. They did beat Pittsburgh. It was a great effort. But I think overall, it's the same problem I have with Drew Brees. Drew Brees in the playoffs has not played like I think an elite quarterback should.
No,
whereas Ben Roethlisberger, you look at some of these wins against the teams that are higher-ranked seeds. I mean, look at last year. He comes off the bench injured, leads that drive. I think even if you didn't get Burfict's penalty, The Bengals are going to lose that football game because they can't stop number seven.
Yeah, I agree. And it's just a shame that you guys didn't, you know, make it farther than you made it, you know. But, hey, that's how it be. But I definitely believe that you guys are going to be on the come up this year, and I think you guys are going to win that division. And we just see how it goes in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can bring it up. Week 9, you know who's coming to Pittsburgh, right?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. Hey, you guys going to be part of the revenge tour, man.
You know what? I sit with a friend of mine. He's a Giants fan. And we go through both teams. We go through both teams' schedules. And we pick wins and losses. And there's no surprise. I got you coming to Pittsburgh and going home with a loss.
Of course you do. I mean, it wouldn't be right if you didn't.
I try to be, you know, I got Pittsburgh going 12-4. Go ahead.
I would say I got the Patriots going 13-3. I got them going 2-2 in the first four, and then I got Brady going 11-1 when he come back. And
who's
I got that one
loss Miami?
In Miami, because we always lose there, man. No matter how bad Miami is, dude, we lose in Miami. It just don't make a difference.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I got us going 5-1 in the AFC North. I mean, I got us actually still beating the Bengals in the second game, and I'm going to give the Bengals credit. The Bengals finally step up and beat us in Cincinnati this year. I think just all the winning there, they finally get one. I got us stepping up and sweeping the Ravens this year. I think we get the sweep. I think this is the year they've been beating us.
Too. Yeah, I think they're strong enough, too. I mean, they shouldn't have swept you guys last year. I don't, you know, but like you said, that's the rivalry game. They're going to get up for you guys like it's the Super Bowl. You know?
Yeah. I think this year we get up for them because they've beaten us 3 times in a row. And I think we get up for them. If we go into Baltimore and get the win in the beginning of the season, which I think we will, they ain't coming to Pittsburgh on Christmas and beating us. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I think we get the sweep. I got 12-4. One of those wins, though, is definitely, I think the defense gets after Tom Brady and Pittsburgh gets out of there with a win.
Hey, but the thing is, how's your secondary now? You know, I mean, I like Shazier, but your defense has kind of been like the weak point of your team here for the last few years. It's like ever since Dick LeBeau like left, it's like your defense hasn't been as great. So what I want to know is who you got in your secondary, because your pass rush is definitely gonna have to get to Brady in order for it to work. If they don't, he's gonna shred that secondary up.
Funny you would bring this up. You know, I look at game one last year. I think there was a young defense, couldn't get lined up right. I think we got out-schemed and out-coached. First-year coordinator, Keith Butler. You didn't rack up a ton of yards, but you made plays in the right spots consistently. You sped us up with a nice fast pace and confused us. But I think going into game 9 with a defense with a year under its belt, you know, Willie Gay is a corner that, according to Pro Football Focus, he plays like a guy that's elite. Now, I'm not saying he is, but he doesn't get beat deep. And I think we'll be more settled in the secondary with a guy like Cockrell. We drafted Artie Burns, I think, 9 games in with Sean Davis, the guy we drafted from Maryland, 9 games in. I think we're a little faster in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think we'll be able to manage. We got some guys that can match up a little bit better with Gronkowski. I don't think you could stop Gronk. But
no.
I think the pass rush most importantly can get to Brady.
Okay. All right, man. Well, hey, Bryce, we'll see. Make sure you hit me up, you know, when that time comes. So we can talk about it. Win or loss, we can talk about it.
Yo, all one right, question. Man, if I had said that I picked the Patriots to beat us, you wouldn't respect me, right?
No, I will respect you. No, look, hey, I don't want to say that we're going to lose to the Dolphins. But I've seen it so much, I can't help but to say we're going to lose. No, I mean, you got to be realistic. I'm the type, I call it like I see it. If I believe they're going to lose to a team, then I'm going to say it, you know? I mean, you just being a true fan. You know, because, for example, I listen to a lot of – I'm calling out of Indiana. I live in Indianapolis Colts territory. So you know what I go through. Yeah, you know what I go through. But I'll be listening to Boston radio stations. I listen to the Patriot Network and you know, all that stuff. And you should hear those Boston fans up there. I mean, the Patriots could do nothing wrong and all that. Like, for example, I believe Tom Brady should have took this suspension a long time ago because he's the quarterback. He know. You know, I'm not one of those Boston fans that's like, oh, Tom Brady didn't do it. You know, he walks on water. Man, he knew that crap. So that's what I'm saying. I keep it real, man.
Yeah, no, I know, dude. I respect that. I mean, you know, and there's Steeler fans that are diehard like that too. I mean, look, I was honest. I got us going 12-4, which means I got us finishing less than you. You got us going 13-3. I think those are fair assessments of the team. There's no reason why Pittsburgh shouldn't be a 12-4 football team.
I agree. They definitely have the firepower.
Yeah, with the firepower. I mean, that could be, you know, that could be an 11-5 football team if they lose to a team like the Patriots. But still, 11-5 is not nothing to sneeze at. I think that could be enough to win the division.
I do too this year. All right. Well, thanks, Bryce, man. Dude, you already know. Call me whenever, man. You know, on Wednesdays and Saturdays, I do this at 6:30. Give me a call, man. Whenever you want to talk some sports, I love talking to you, and I appreciate your call, buddy.
Yo, thanks for having me, man. Take care.
All right, buddy. All right, that was Bryce out of the Bronx. I really appreciate the call. It's one of my favorite callers, him and my buddy Tom out of L.A. But let's get back to these, my top five candidates. Dalvin Cook, Florida State. You know, basically, after putting up 1,691 rushing yards and 19 TDs in the injury-filled season, Cook looks to have an even better season in 2016 now that he's healthy. The continued progress of his offensive line will allow him to have bigger holes to run through. If the Seminoles are to challenge Watson and the Tigers, the guy who I think is going to win the Heisman, for the ACC championship, it will be thanks to Cook's vision, his strong cuts, and his feet being in constant motion, being able to crack them holes and get big yardage. In a loss to Clemson last season, Cook rushed for 194 yards and one touchdown on 21 carries. That's pretty good. Dalvin Cook is definitely going to be a first round, probably top 10 draft pick next season, because I'm pretty sure he's going to come out. And I definitely predict him to be a Heisman finalist at the end of the season, barring injury. Now, number four, this guy, he was a Heisman finalist last year. And I don't know if he's going to get there this year because their team just doesn't seem like it's strong enough, and it seemed like he's going to have to do most of the he's going to have to carry most of the load for him, and it might be too much on him. Christian McCaffrey, running back out of Stanford. McCaffrey is definitely one of the nation's top players this season. Now that he has a year on the national scene, there won't be any excuses for the voters regarding his playing location. McCaffrey will be the focus of defensive coordinators, and that's going to hurt him because they're going to focus strictly on him because they know he's going to be the main threat for the Cardinal team, especially if the Cardinals can't find a worthy replacement at quarterback for Kevin Hogan. The mid-October clash with Deshaun Kizer and Notre Dame could be his springboard back to New York as a Heisman finalist. McCaffrey's ability to carry an offense and excel on special teams could win him the Heisman, even if his team doesn't repeat as conference champions. I think McCaffrey's going to have a good year, but it's going to be a little harder because, you know, like I said, they're going to do more scheming on him. Because he's going to really, truly be their only viable threat on offense. You know, he does offense. He does special teams. That kid does a lot. And, you know, Bryce, McCaffrey's the perfect Patriot, man. I mean, can't you just imagine him in a Patriot uniform? I can. But I already know the Patriots not going to be so high in the draft they'd be able to take him. But I know they would. Now, the last Heisman candidate I got, in my opinion, is Greg Ward Jr. And this is a surprise guy. I never even really heard of this guy, man, until I started doing a little research on him. But he finished last season with 17 pass touchdowns and 21 rush touchdowns. Ward's top five receivers are scheduled to return, which is going to benefit him. His supreme quickness with the ball in his hands will baffle defenders all season. If Ward leads his team to a win over Oklahoma in the 2016 season opener, his Heisman campaign will be in full swing. Houston and Greg Ward Jr. will be the hottest story of opening weekend if they beat Oklahoma. So that Oklahoma game opening weekend could be Greg Ward's springboard to New York. It just depends on how he plays. Like I said, I believe he needs to at least throw for maybe 250 to 270, pass for a couple touchdowns, and he needs to rush for at least 80 to 100 yards and maybe get a rushing touchdown. He needs to be a dual threat in that game against Oklahoma to put his name on the map. Now, I have some honorable mentions for the Heisman. DeShone Kizer, quarterback out of Notre Dame. And, you know, I'm not really a big Notre Dame guy because I feel like they get special treatment and privileges and all that. But as usual, the Irish have an extremely easy schedule. That's another thing. Their schedule is always easy. With only the season-ending game at USC as a true road challenge. After taking over from Malik Zaire early in his redshirt freshman season, the 6'5", 230-pound Kizer often looked like a veteran, getting the ball to his playmakers and trucking downfield for big rushing games. He threw for 2,884 yards, 21 TDs, and 10 interceptions. And I'm pretty sure he's going to improve that this season. If Kizer could beat out Malik Zaire for the starting job, he will get some Heisman recognition, just because, like I said, it's Notre Dame. You know, as long as you're Notre Dame, you're going to get some kind of pub. You know, right now, in the AP preseason rankings, they have him currently ranked at 11. Now, the last honorable mention is Leonard Fournette, running back LSU. This season is a season of redemption for Leonard Fournette. He was not invited to New York for the Heisman ceremony last year. His performances against Alabama wasn't great. 31 yards on 19 carries. And, you know, you gotta show and prove against them big schools, especially at Alabama. If you want to be considered for a Heisman, you got to ball out against the best. In Arkansas, he had 19 carries for 91 yards. I mean, that's pedestrian for a guy that's, you know, that they compare to Adrian Peterson. And they compare Leonard Fournette to Adrian Peterson. He's about the same build, about 6'2", 6'3", about 220 in muscle. I mean, just like Adrian Peterson. So, you know, you got to ball out against these schools, man, in your conference, in the SEC. And, you know, that Arkansas game basically took the sizzle out of his campaign for the Heisman. But he still led the nation in rushing yards per game for a team that ranked 110th in passing offense in the country. And that's the thing about LSU. They don't believe in passing the ball. They usually have scrambling quarterbacks who can't throw. So, you know, that kind of hurts them too because that's putting everything on Leonard Fournette. But he'll have a chance to face Alabama again this season where he looks to improve on his performance of last year. If he can have some good games against Alabama and some of the other stronger teams and, you know, in the SEC, the Georgias and, you know, and all that, if he can have good games against those guys, he might be able to put himself back in consideration for the Heisman. But I don't know. Guys, if you want to call in, chime in about my choices for the Heisman, the top five candidates, or if you want to call and chime in about the AFC North, like my boy Bright did, you want to call and talk about the AFC North or the NFC North, then hit me up, 1-516-453-9117. I'm about to go to a commercial, but when I come back, I'm going to get off into the AFC North. I'm going to start with the AFC North first, and then I'm going to work my way to the – I'm sorry. I'm going to start off with the NFC North, and then I'm going to work my way back to the AFC North. So if you want to call in, Bears fans, where you at? Tell me why Jay Cutler going to lead y'all to the playoffs this year. 1-516-453-9117.
If you have a strong passion for sports and a love of talking about sports – then hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash at 1-516-453-9117. Here we'll discuss the NBA, we'll discuss MLB, we'll discuss NCAA, we'll discuss NFL, we'll discuss MMA, and yes, we'll discuss even a little hockey. So if you love to talk about sports and you want to have some good conversation, once again, hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash. And that number is 1-516-453-9117. Looking forward to hearing from you.
I hate Gotham.
Rest in peace to Trayvon
and
Martin.
I'm looking for it, you know? But yesterday.
And all the other Trayvons.
Trayvon's going to sound me.
that we didn't march for.
God found me. Then why don't you try
they lost their life in the hood.
How? You don't know how to move? Well, what you just do is...
Let's go. Yeah, God over money, pistol. I got my hoodie on for Trayvon, listening to this ignorance on how the hoodie's just as responsible as the killer is.
Really?
Geraldo, are you losing your mind or you just blind to the fact the first gangsters wore suits and ties? So if a kid in blue decides to put a clip in you, we'll justify it by saying that you fit the description too? It sounds funny, don't it? Now just imagine when they rolled him over, the hoodie said God over money on it. That could have been me, couldn't have been you. I guess that's why we see it from a different point of view.
Yeah.
But hold up, before the hood gets to clapping for me, don't just pretend to be righteous when tragedy happens, homie. It's really killing me. We marching in the street, following the case, praying that a witness speak, hoping they get some lead. Give them the guillotine. We want this killer in the cell where killers should be. But then we hit.
All right, welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. I'm about to get off into this NFC North. The first team I'm going to start with is the Green Bay Packers. Look for the Packers to return with a vengeance this season. They finished second in the division to the Minnesota Vikings with a 10-6 record. The loss of Jordy Nelson truly hampered the Packers' passing game. Aaron Rodgers was left with no deep threat to run the Packer offense we are so used to seeing. All in all, Rodgers had a pedestrian type of season with 3,821 passing yards, 31 TDs, and 8 interceptions. For an average quarterback, these numbers would be good, but for Rodgers, these are average. With the loss of Nelson, everyone expected players such as Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams to step up and make plays. Both players had disappointing seasons, with Cobb finishing with 79 receptions, 829 yards, and 6 TDs, while Devontae Adams, who really ticked me off because I picked him in fantasy expecting him to have a big year, finished with 50 receptions, 483 measly yards, and 1 funky touchdown. These numbers are very disappointing. You know, for the number 2 and 3 receivers on the team. The team's leading rusher, Eddie Lacy, also had a bad year, rushing for only 758 yards on 187 attempts with 3 touchdowns. Your lead running back must produce more. Last year's emergence of tight end Richard Rodgers could lead to a Pro Bowl season in 2016. He had 58 receptions for 510 yards and 8 TDs. Who could forget the Hail Mary pass he caught from Aaron Rodgers to beat the Detroit Lions? I mean, that was a crazy moment. I still remember me, my wife, and my brother-in-law watching it, and they going nuts. Even I was going nuts a little bit, and I'm not – I mean, the Packers are okay, but I'm a Patriot fan. But I was celebrating with them because it was just ridiculous how that happened. Mike McCarthy basically gave Eddie Lacy an ultimatum to lose weight or risk losing his spot on the team. Over the summer, Lacy has been working hard. Rumor has it, Lacy is now in the 220s and said to be even stronger and quicker than he was when he was in the 250-pound range. This is great news for Packers fans. With the return of Jordy Nelson, expect big things from the Packers this season. Rodgers should be back to his normal self, because he'll have all his targets in place. The defense, led by Clay Matthews, need to continue to make positive plays and stop giving up big plays. Barring any key injuries, Green Bay should win the NFC North and return to the top tier of NFL teams. I believe that. I mean, you could clearly see the loss of Jordy Nelson last season. It really, like, killed their long play offense. And like I said, you were expecting those guys to step up. You know, Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb, they were very disappointing. Guys, if you want to call in and talk about my top 5 Heisman candidates I picked or talk about the NFC North, if you have a team you roll with in the NFC North, if you got a team you roll with in the AFC North, if you want to call and chime in about them, tell me why you think they're going to win the division or how you think they're going to do this year in the NFL, hit me up. 1-516-453-9117. 1-516-453-9117. Hit me up. Let me know how you think your team's going to do. If you have a team in the NFC North or if you have a team in the AFC North. The second team in the NFC North is the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings won the NFC North crown for the first time since 2009 last year, finishing with an 11-5 record. They were led by the usual suspects, such as Adrian Peterson and Teddy Bridgewater on offense, while the defense was led by Harrison Smith, Sharif Floyd, and Xavier Rhodes on defense. I expect the Vikings to open up the offensive playbook for Bridgewater this season because he's due to, you know, have some giant passing games and see if he could work with, you know, mesh with his wide receivers. He got to get that opportunity or he's never going to, you know, he's never going to grow as a quarterback. But he finished last season with 3,231 yards passing with 14 TDs and 9 interceptions, which are not great numbers at all. But Teddy plays with a certain calmness and poise about him. And now with the receivers like Stephon Diggs, who had 52 receptions for 720 yards and 4 touchdowns last year, Jarius Wright, who had 34 receptions for 442 yards, and now with rookie Laquon Treadwell and tight end Kyle Rudolph, who had 49 receptions for 495 yards and 5 touchdowns, he may get the opportunity to use them more. Excuse me. Adrian Peterson, well, is Adrian Peterson. He finished last season with 1,485 rushing yards on 327 carries and 11 touchdowns. I believe in order to let Teddy grow as a quarterback, the Vikes need to lower Peterson's carries from 300-plus to about 250-plus. This amount of carries will not deter the production of Peterson. I actually believe it makes both parties better. Teddy gets more passing reps, and Peterson is more rested and less beat down at season's end. The Vikings' defense is solid and will continue to be solid. They have a very good front seven and a great secondary with plenty of playmakers. The Vikings will contend with the pack for the NFC North crown, and they will be a wild card team. I believe that they're going to be good enough to make the wild card again. You know, well, actually, they didn't make the wild card last year. They won their division. But I believe they're good enough to make the wild card this year, and the Packers will win the division. And it's just crazy because if it wasn't for their field goal kicker missing that chip shot, we would have had the Vikings going to Carolina last year instead of the Seahawks going to Carolina. So hopefully that kicker, you know, been practicing during the offseason, make sure you don't miss any more 25-yard field goals. Now, the Chicago Bears, and I know people out here who are Bears fans. Why y'all not calling, man? I got to go ahead and get on the Bears. Another year of seeing if Jay Cutler can be the quarterback all of Chicago wants him to be. Coach John Fox looks to guide the Bears to a wild card spot in the NFC playoffs. Fox is known for improving every team he coaches, and I expect there will be an improvement. Unfortunately, they are in a division where two teams are ahead of them, at least on paper. Cutler finished last season with 3,659 passing yards, 21 TDs, and 11 interceptions, which are average numbers. More is expected of him due to the big contract he signed a couple of seasons ago. The loss of Matt Forte opens up the door for Jeremy Langford to be the team's featured back. He looks to improve on his 537 rushing yards on 148 carries and 6 touchdowns. The Bears' receiving core lost a key component to their offense when they lost tight end Martellus Bennett. Cutler has Alshon Jeffery, who had 54 receptions, 807 yards receiving, and 4 touchdowns. Marquise Wilson, he had 28 receptions, 464 yards, and 1 touchdown. And the return of last year's first-round draft pick, Kevin White. We all want to see how he is because he's a big receiver. He's like 6'3", about 215, 220 pounds. He was great at West Virginia, and we weren't able to see him play because he got hurt during training camp last season. So everybody want to see how he looks when he comes back. Chicago will also utilize running back Jeremy Langford in the passing game, because he can catch passes out of backfield, so that's a good thing. The Bears' offense has a chance of being good. The issue is the defense. Traditionally, the Bears are known for their defense, They were known as the Monsters of the Midway when I grew up a Bears fan when I was a kid. That's when they were the Monsters of the Midway. Unfortunately, over the last few years, there's nothing monstrous about their defense at all. They've been one of the worst defenses in the league. Third-year defensive back Kyle Fuller, in the addition of Super Bowl champion Danny Trevathan, will be the focal points on the defensive side of the ball for the Bears. I expect a small improvement from Chicago, but not enough to make a playoff push. They just don't seem like they have enough, you know, firepower on the defensive side to be able to stop anybody. I mean, I don't know. Won't you call me and tell me, Bears fans? I know some of you guys got to be out there. 1-516-453-9117. If you want to chime in about my Heisman picks, you want to chime in about the NFC North or the AFC North, if you have a team in either division, hit me up. Let's talk about them. Tell me why you think they're going to do good. Tell me why you think they're going to, you know, possibly win their division or make a playoff run. The last team in the NFC North is the Detroit Lions. The Lions are fine at quarterback. Matt Stafford returns for another season of offensive fireworks. Last season, Stafford finished with 4,262 yards passing, 32 touchdowns, and 13 interceptions, which is a great year for him. The Lions lost perennial All-Pro Calvin Johnson to retirement, which means the number one receiving threat now belongs to Golden Tate, who had 90 receptions for 813 yards and 6 touchdowns. The Lions had a disappointing run attack, though, only bolstering 1,041 rushing yards from 3 different running backs. So that tells you they didn't get no production at the running back spot, and that's not good. It's not good when you only depended on the pass on your passing game to get you points or to move you up and down the field. Ameer Abdullah, Joik Bell, and Theo Riddick were all guilty of putting up 1,041 yards. The addition of Marvin Jones, Andre Caldwell, and Andre Roberts could make the offense even more explosive. But the running backs must produce to make this a reality. And just by looking at their roster, I didn't see them make any really make any changes at the running back spot. So I don't know. Ameer Abdullah, he looked good a couple years ago when he was a rookie, when he first came in. And then he just tailed down and hasn't been the same since. Joik Bell, he's one of those tough physical backs, you know, who runs between the tackles. I mean, he'll get you a few yards here and there. He might get you a couple goal line scores, but he's not an every down back. And then the Theo Riddick, he's more of a pass catching back out of the backfield. So I really think they need a good running back if they really want everything to be clicking, you know, for the Lions. Their defense will be led by Ezekiel Ansah, and he's good. He's a good pass rusher. And new addition, Haloti Ngata, and we know what Haloti Ngata could do. We know what he did in his days with the Baltimore Ravens. He's going to plug up the middle, and he's going to push the pocket. And they are very capable players. The Lions have skilled playmakers, but how good will their team be? I don't know. I'm going to predict that the Lions finish last in the NFC North. Because as of right now, I just don't think that they're better. I don't even think they're better than the Bears. And they're definitely not better than the Vikings or the Packers. So they have nowhere to finish but last. All right, I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to get into the AFC North. Bryce will like this. If you guys want to call, like I said, talk about my top five Heisman picks, I said, or talk about the NFC North or the AFC North, call me up, 1-516-453-9117. Yeah, welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. All right, I'm going to get off into the AFC North. I'll start with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers look to make a deep run in the AFC this season. They finished last year's regular season with a 10-6 record. They may be in some trouble, though, for the first four games, unless D'Angelo Williams can have the same performance he had last season. We had 200 carries, 907 yards, 11 TDs. I mean, of course, he doesn't have to have those numbers in the first four games, but just be able to perform on a high level like he did. The loss of Le'Veon, you know, he did that with the loss of Le'Veon Bell to a knee injury. This time around, they may lose him to a drug violation. Bell is a special back who provides the Steelers offense with a dual threat. He can both run and catch out of the backfield. Big Ben Roethlisberger has also lost one of his primary targets for a full season due to a drug policy. Martavis Bryant. The good news is Big Ben still has enough firepower to get it done. He looks to improve on his 3,938 passing yards, 21 touchdowns, and 16 interceptions, which is not good for his standards. Even the loss of Bryant, he still has Antonio Brown, who most consider to be the best receiver in the league, I do, with 136 receptions for 1,834 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns. He balled out last year. So he definitely is the best receiver in the league, hands down. I could debate that with anybody. Marcus Wheaton, Darius Heyward-Bey, and the return of Bell will help the passing attack. The Steelers' defense has been the issue over the last few years. If they can make plays and be more effective, Pittsburgh has a chance to go far. I believe the Steelers will contend for an AFC wild card slot, or they may win the division. I don't know for sure. I'm more on a limb to say they're going to win the division. I mean, only reason I'm like having doubts that they are going to win the division is because the Cincinnati Bengals, they always like have a good record during the regular season, and they're always up there for the, you know, AFC North title. But their issue is the playoffs. But I'm just going to go out on them and say that Steelers are going to win the division. I think they'll be back. I think losing Bell for the first four games is not going to hurt as much because of the way D'Angelo Williams played this year. I mean, he's a year older, but the way he played last year, it seemed like he has plenty in the tank to be able to, you know, play four games this year at a high level until Bell comes back. So I believe the Steelers will be fine. The next team is those Cincinnati Bengals or Bungles. They got playmakers, man. Their defense is great. You got Geno Atkins, you know, who plugs up the middle. You got Pac-Man Jones, who plays good at the cornerback. He makes plays. He's tough. He's physical. And then you got the knucklehead, Vontaze Burfict, who decided he wanted to spear Antonio Brown last year and give him concussion. And, you know, truthfully, that was the reason why the Steelers lost to the Broncos in the playoffs last year, in my opinion, because they didn't have no Antonio Brown because he was out on that concussion protocol. So you got Vontaze Burfict. He's a good player. He just has anger issues, I guess. And then you have Carlos Dunlap, another good defensive player. So the Bengals have a good squad from top to bottom. It's just they got a lot of players that seem like they mentally challenged. They do dumb stuff at the most inopportune time. And like I said, these players make up a great defense that makes plays and shuts opposing teams down. On offense, the Bengals are also good. I mean, they lost Marvin Jones and they lost Mohamed Sanu. And that may hurt, especially with the loss of Marvin Jones, because Marvin Jones was coming into his own last year. So losing him may hurt them more than, you know, losing Mohamed Sanu to Atlanta. But you still have A.J. Green there, and you know we all know how good A.J. Green is. Then you still have Tyler Eifert, who played at a high level at tight end. He's still there, so he'll make plays. As long as he stays injury-free, Tyler Eifert's issue over the last few years has been injury. But when he's played, he's produced. And then they have a two-headed monster at running back. You got Giovanni Bernard, who, you know, he's more of a pass-catching back. But he can run between the tackles, too. And then you have Jeremy Hill, who's the bruising running back. You know, that's all he does is run north or south. You know, that's what he do. He's not really much of a pass catcher. But their offense is good, man. They have firepower on offense. Their defense is great. There's no reason why the Bengals shouldn't be in contention for a Super Bowl every season. Because their team, like I said, is good from top to bottom. You know, and this great offense is led by Andy Dalton. You know, poor Andy Dalton. I mean, he just got this big deal a few years back. And he still can't lead this team to the promised land. He's good during the regular season, but he's another one. You know, during the playoffs, he chokes. I mean, who could forget a couple years back, they had played the Houston Texans in the playoffs 2 years in a row, and he lost to them twice. He lost to T.J. Yates. I mean, that just tells you right there. It's like, I don't know, the Bengals are cursed or what. But Andy Dalton has to finally break through and lead this team past the first round of the playoffs. Somehow, some way, the Bengals continue to get in their own way as it pertains to reaching their potential. Marvin Lewis has to be the luckiest coach ever because he's still maintaining his job. I mean, the team constantly plays great in the regular season, only to see an early exit in the playoffs. And it's really a shame because, like I said, they're a good team. I mean, they're the type of team you would want to root for. They got good players on both sides of the ball. And it's like, you know, for you to have this much talent, you got to get out of the first-round playoffs. You got to at least make, you know, an AFC championship game, at least. But it's like they can't even do that. You know, so in my opinion, I see more of the same. The Bengals will have another good year in this 2016-2017 season. They'll make the playoffs, and then they're going to lose their first playoff game. You know, until they prove otherwise, that's what I believe. I just believe that they're going to find a way to choke it. And you know, it's just, like I said, it's a shame because they talented top to bottom on both sides of the ball. Guys, you want to call and talk about any of these teams I've been discussing? 1-516-453-9117. The next team in the AFC North is the Baltimore Ravens. I expect Joe Flacco and the Ravens to have a much better season than they did last year. And I'm glad that Steve Smith decided to return instead of ending his career on a knee injury. Justin Forsett had a decent year and looks to continue the process. Also, their defensive leader, Terrell Suggs, returns. You know, he's the emotional spirit of the team. He's the player on defense that gets everyone else going. It's like the rest of the defense feeds off the energy that Suggs, you know, puts out there. And with him being back on the field, that alone should make their defense a little better. And, you know, Steve Smith, he's a year older, but he showed last season before the injury and the season before that, definitely, that he's still capable of making plays. Unfortunately, the Ravens do not have enough on offense and defense to make a serious run for a wild card spot. At least that's what I believe. But I do believe they're going to improve on their record last year, which was 5-11. I mean, they can't get worse than that, man. Not a Baltimore Ravens team coached by John Harbaugh. They have to be better than that. I didn't really look at their schedule, but I think they could finish better than 5-11. You know, maybe 7-9, 8-8, 6-10. I'd say 7-9, 8-8. I think that they're good enough to finish in that range, but they're not going to contend for a wild card spot. I just don't see enough weapons. I don't even know their receiving corps. I just know Steve Smith, and I think they drafted that one rookie Perryman, and they've been waiting on him to show up, and he hasn't done anything. So who is Flacco going to throw the ball to besides Steve Smith? Nah, the cellar dweller in the AFC North is the Cleveland Browns. And I'm really rooting for this guy. I'm hoping that RG3 has some kind of rejuvenation to his career in Cleveland. I'm hoping Hugh Jackson be able to coach him up and steer him on the right path in the right direction because, you know, when RG3 and Andrew Luck came out in that draft, I say RG3 was better. I believed he was. And I don't care what anybody say, they can't tell me that when RG3 won Rookie of the Year that he didn't play better than Andrew Luck. He was better than Andrew Luck. RG3 did it all. He ran for touchdowns, and he threw for a lot of touchdowns. And he had less interceptions than Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was throwing the ball up for grabs, you know, his rookie season. I mean, they made the playoffs, the Colts, you know, but he was throwing the ball up for grabs. So I truly believe that RG3, you know, maybe Hugh Jackson could get him back to where he was his rookie year. And RG3 needs to get out of his own arrogance because I think that's what killed him in Washington, too. He was so arrogant and cocky about everything. And I believe these last few years he's been humbled. And he knows he has to prove himself in Cleveland. And I'm hoping he does it. But they have a couple of players. Gary Barnidge, who had a breakout season at tight end. He was a beast. He is kind of looking like my boy Rob Gronkowski out there a little bit. But RG3 have him to throw the ball to. I really don't. I mean, they got Joe Hayden still on defense, and he's kind of going on the downside now. So I really don't know how good their defense is going to be, but I'm expecting Cleveland to be at the bottom again. I don't know how much Hugh Jackson's going to be able to improve them because I don't know what kind of, you know, legitimate weapons they have. I mean, their running back position, you really don't even know who their running back is. I mean, yeah. So, Cleveland has a lot of work to do. And I'm just hoping RG3 can look decent and not be like the reason why they're losing a lot of games. You know, maybe it can fall on their defense because their defense is weaker, but not RG3. And hopefully he'll go back to prominence. Hopefully Hugh Jackson can help him out and get him back to the level where he needs to be. So he could be talked about again, and instead of being, you know, a punchline or a joke the way he is now. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how the, things turn out for him. So that was my preview, basically, of the NFC North and the AFC North. I want to give a shout-out to Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Piazza for making the Baseball Hall of Fame. They're going to be going into Cooperstown. I still remember watching Ken Griffey Jr. when I was younger. Back then, I still am, but I'm a White Sox guy as far as my American League team. And I'm not going to lie, I should watch Seattle Mariners games, and I should like their team. They had a good team, man, back then. They had Ken Griffey Jr., they had Jay Buhner, they had Tino Martinez. They had Edgar Martinez. They had a good team. And that was the team that should have won the World Series. I remember that one year they won like 100 and – I think the Mariners won like 115, 120 games. It was something ridiculous, but they were like unstoppable. I think it was a 95, 96 season. But Ken Griffey Jr., he was great. I mean, ever since he came in the league at 18, he's been doing good things, you know, putting up numbers, the youngest to hit like 300 home runs and – so it's well-deserved. And Mike Piazza, I mean, I mainly remember his career as an L.A. Dodger. He was like one of the greatest Dodger catchers ever. You know, when he went to the Mets, he was able to get them to the World Series. They didn't win, though. They lost to the Yankees, but, you know, they made it. It was a Subway Series, New York Yankees versus New York Mets. He led them there. Mike Piazza led them to that. You know, like I said, they just unfortunately couldn't beat the Yankees. That's back when the Yankees used to have those, the best teams money could buy back then. So I just wanted to give a shout out to those guys. One 516 453-9117. If you want to chime in on my top five Heisman picks, which were Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, and Greg Ward Jr., surprise pick from the University of Houston. I'm definitely going to try to make sure I keep an eye on him, see what he could do. Yeah. So, I really expect some calls, but nobody's calling me. 1-516-453-9117. I'm going to take another break, and I'm going to come back to the show.
Oh, yeah. I got the perfect song for the kids to sing. And all my people that's drug dealing just to get by. Stack your money till it gets high. We weren't supposed to make it past 25. Jokes on you, we still alive. Throw your hands up in the sky and say, if this is your first time hearing this, you are about to experience something so cold, man. We never had nothing handed, took nothing for granted, took nothing from no man. Man, I'm my own man, but as a shorty, I looked up to the dope, man. Only a dope, man, I knew that wasn't broke, man. Slick inside a coast, man, man, you don't know, man. We don't care what people say, this is for my niggas outside.
Yeah, welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. All right, well, I'm about to get ready to close out the show. Like I said, NFC North, I have the Packers winning the division. I have the Vikings coming in second and getting a wild card spot. Then I have the Bears coming in third. And I want to say that they're going to push for a wild card spot, but I don't know how good their defense is going to be. And we need to see how good Kevin White is going to be. We don't know what he's going to give them. I mean, like I said before, I know Bears fans really have to be missing Brandon Marshall right now, you know, seeing what he did last season in New York. And I believe that's the reason why they let him go. The Bears let him go because they believe in Kevin White. So maybe they know something we don't know. Maybe Kevin White been tearing it up in minicamp and all that. But, you know, the preseason about to start here soon in a couple of weeks, so maybe we'll see, you know, see some flashes of Kevin White. If he could be that other outside receiver to go along with Alshon Jeffrey, that way that'll give Cutler, you know, some legitimate targets. I mean, that tight end, like I said, they lost Martellus Bennett to my team, to the Patriots, and I believe that's going to hurt them. I mean, they got Zach Miller. I mean, Zach Miller, he's a serviceable tight end, but he's not on the level of Martellus Bennett. So I wonder how that's going to affect, you know, Jay Cutler and the Bears passing game. And like I said, I want to give credit to John Fox, because John Fox is good. He's a good coach. Usually wherever he goes, he turns the program around. The team could be a losing team, and then when Fox gets there, he somehow, you know, boosts them up to a winning team, a playoff caliber team. He did it in Carolina. He did it in Denver. And, you know, we still waiting to see if he's going to do it in Chicago. He did, you know, he finished his first season in Chicago. Can he get them the playoffs in year two, which is this season? I guess we'll see. And then as far as the Detroit Lions, like I said, I don't know if they have enough, you know, as far as defensively. I mean, they have some good players, and then they don't have no run attack. We got a phone call. Let's see who this is. What's going on in the sports chat with T-Wire? Who's calling?
Hello.
Hello. What's going on, man? I don't know who that was. Actually, I do know who that is. That was a prank caller calling my show and prank calling my show. Come on, man. Come on, man. And I know who you are. You a Bears fan, man. Is that it, man? You scared to call and talk about your Bears? Get to tell me if Jay Cutler, you know, gonna lead you guys to the playoffs or what? Come on, man. See, the Bears fans, you know, they don't want to tell me, man. The Bears fans know that Jay Cutler's worthless, man. Bears fans, tell me how you feel about Jay Cutler, man. If you think he's good enough to get you guys to the promised land or even the playoffs, call me and let me know. But like I was saying about the Lions, the Lions, Matt Stafford, you know, he's good. He's a good quarterback. And if he got the targets to throw it to, he'll get it to him. So he'll put up numbers. You just got to have the players around him. And Golden Tate had a good year last year. And since Calvin Johnson retired, he's going to be the man. He's going to be the number one receiver for the team. Marvin Jones, and like I was saying earlier, when Marvin Jones with the Bengals, you know, the Bengals let him go, and he went to Detroit. He was coming to his own. Marvin Jones had a good season last year. So I'm assuming he's going to be starting on the outside, you know, of Golden Tate. And he'll be able to put up numbers. So Stafford will have some targets. He still has Brandon Pettigrew at the tight end, a big tight end who really hasn't come into his own yet. But he can make some plays. But all in all, Detroit's going to finish last in the division. They can't – I don't see them being able to overthrow the Bears, the Vikings, or the Packers. And then, you know, as far as the AFC North, I'm going with the Steelers to win the division because they have the weaponry. And then the loss of retarded Le'Veon Bell for the first four games isn't going to kill them because D'Angelo Williams, you know, he played at a high level last year, and I expect him to do the same for the first four games. And then the loss of Martavis Bryant. I say it hurts, but they still got the best wide receiver in the league. What's going on in the Sports Chat with T. Wise? Who's calling?
I want to talk about baseball.
What you got, man?
White Sox.
Go ahead. Who you want to talk about?
White Sox.
What about the Sox?
They're not doing good this year.
Well, yeah, the other team on the north side is doing much better. The roles are kind of vice versa now. You know, usually it's the south side that's balling out and the north side that's not. But the roles switched this year. All you guys have is Kevin Frazier, really. That's it. And Selle, the pitcher, Selle. That's the only thing the Sox got going for them. And it's sad because I like the Sox. Sox is my team, man.
But
they're not
Cubs
good this year.
The Cubs are doing good, too. Cubs are awesome.
What'd you say?
I said the Cubs are doing good. They're awesome.
Oh, yeah. They are awesome this year. Yeah. So awesome, I think they're going to go to the World Series.
You think the curse is broken?
What do you
broken?
Think?
You think the curse is broken?
I think the Cubs are going to the World Series. What do you think?
I don't know. That's why I'm calling and asking you. You think
the
curse is broken?
Broken? No, I think they're going to the World Series. What are you talking about?
The curse.
Oh, the curse.
Yeah.
Kind of, man. I don't know. Have you seen any black cats running on the field? Have you seen any goats? Have you seen the Bartman clone in the crowd?
I did.
You saw a Bartman clone, or you saw the goat, or you saw the cat? Which one?
Yeah, I saw Bartman.
Where you see him, man?
I actually talked to him, man. We had a little conversation over a Hebrew National hot dog.
Last I checked, man, Bartman is out of the state, never to come back.
Nah, he came back. He wasn't at the game. I ran into him at the grocery store, Mariano's.
You sure they didn't run him out of the store? That's Bartman, man. You know, he got blamed for the 2004 season, man. You know, it's Bartman, man.
Yeah.
You sure they didn't run him out of the store?
It was on the south side of Chicago. He's welcome over there.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's White Sox territory. He's safe over there.
Yeah. So we had a conversation, man. He said he wanted to move back, but he's stationed. He'd like to be stationed over there on the north side, but they won't let him. So he's living in Florida now. He was welcome out there, so they welcomed him with open arms, man. But anyway, that's enough about Bartman. But the Cubs, they're doing their thing. Arrieta's the man.
Yes.
And I think the curse is broken. Enough said.
Well, you know what? We're going to find out during the playoffs, man. That's when we're going to find out if the curse is broken.
Yeah. So, have a good day.
Thank you. You too, buddy. That was a crazy call. But it was a call. Hey, and I take all the calls I get, man. I appreciate the call, man. I appreciate the two calls I got today. But the Cubs, I don't know, man. The Cubs, the curse should be over, man. Because like I said, they got Theo Epstein. Theo Epstein was able to lift the curse for the Boston Red Sox, got them two championships. And the way he built this Cubs team, I mean, they seriously have to be in consideration, to win the NL pennant and go to the World Series this year. It's just a matter of right now, if I was Cubs fans, I wouldn't even be getting so happy about this regular season. It's all about the playoffs. What we going to do in the playoffs? Is anything stupid going to happen? Cubs make it to the World Series with nothing dumb happening, I believe they're going to win the World Series. And then, Theo Epstein is going to be known as a genius forever, as a curse breaker. Because, like I said, he broke it in Boston, and now he's looking to break it in Chicago. And, hey, this will be the year of curses being broke. I mean, you had Cleveland and LeBron. They broke their curse. The Cleveland Indians looking good right now. Who knows? It might be the Cleveland Indians and the Cubs in the World Series. How crazy would that be? The city of Cleveland looking for their second major championship in the same calendar year, and the Cubs looking to win a championship in hell forever. 1914. So how crazy would that be, though? How crazy would that be if the Cleveland Indians met up with the Cubs in World Series? You know what? I'm rooting for that to happen. I hope the Indians stay like they are because, like I said in one of my earlier shows, Cleveland Indians remind me of the Kansas City Royals last year. Small market team that'll make a playoff run and go to and win the World Series. What's going on in the Sports Chat with T. Wash? Who's calling? What's going on? All right, well, like I said, that would be crazy if that happened. I said Cleveland did it, so why not the Cubs? They were able to break their curse. LeBron was able to break the curse. And then the Cubs' pitching staff is so ridiculous, there's no reason why they shouldn't win. And they got Hamels, they got Arrieta, they got Lester. And they got a lot of good pitchers, man, a lot. So there's no reason. And then Chris Bryant, the stuff Chris Bryant is doing is ridiculous. You got Rizzo. They just got a lot. And then you got, my old Atlanta Brave player, Jason Hayward, even though it doesn't seem like he's been doing much this year. And in my opinion, he hasn't been really, great since he left Atlanta. His first few seasons in Atlanta, he was great. And then he just started tailing off. And then in St. Louis, he was average, and now it seems like he's with the Cubs. He's average still, but he's a decent player. He's a good outfielder. He's definitely a good defensive player. But he's not really doing much with the bat right now. But the Cubs, it just don't even matter. The Cubs kind of have it rolling. I mean, they have a little stretch here where they might lose four, five, have a little losing streak. But other than that, they've been pretty consistent. And then John Madden is their manager. Joe Madden is their manager. And you can't help but to go wrong. He led the Tampa Bay Rays to the World Series. So he should be able to get the Cubs there. The talent is in place. It's just a matter of the Cubs going to be able to do it or not. But we'll see. I want to thank everybody, the two people who did call in. Thank you for calling my show. I appreciate it. Bryce in Brooklyn, one of my favorite callers. Thank you for calling, buddy. Call again. Guys, the show is on Wednesdays and Saturdays at 6:30. So if you ever want to call, talk about some sports, we could talk MMA, we could talk NFL, we could talk NCAA, we could talk hockey, even a little hockey. I can go there. I can go there with a little hockey. We could talk, you know, MLB, any type of sport except golf and damn cricket or, you know, some crap like that. I can't do it. But other than that, man, we could talk whatever. We could talk boxing, even though boxing is on the downslide right now. It's not like it was when I was a kid growing up. You know, back when you had the Sugar Ray Leonards and the marvelous Marvin Hagler's and the Tommy Hearns, the Hitman Hearns, and the Roberto Duran's, and even Mike Tyson. You know, I'm not much of a Tyson guy because all he did was he wasn't a boxer. He was a knockout artist. But those were the good days of boxing. Now, boxing now sucks. So thank you, guys, and I want to end the show with this. Sports is basically the fabric of society, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, soccer, and hockey. We all as humans have a strong passion for the games and what they represent. Now ask yourself, could you imagine life without them? Thank you guys for listening to the Sports Chat with T. Wash. Thank you for my callers who called in. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to hearing from you next go-around Wednesday, 6:30. All right. Brothers and sisters!